I'll autograph it if you wanted to, and you can see Thelma afterwards. She'll take your money. Anyway, I'm so grateful to be here tonight. It reminded me of, you know, it's the faithful who come out on the 4th of July weekend when you could be barbecuing or sailing, okay? And Todd texted me and he said they forgot to turn off the air conditioner. I said, what's the problem? I live in Africa. We don't have air conditioning. We don't know such a thing. So we're sweat bullets, you know? What can I say? But, you know, I thought as I looked out over you tonight, I thought of Gideon. Remember, Gideon started out with so many, and the Lord kept paring him down, because they had the heart and the courage and the faith to go forth and do what God said. And, you know, 13 months ago, last September when I came back from Kenya, I have a home and I live there full time. I work there. We also travel to Uganda, Tanzania, South Africa, Eswatini, and Mozambique. And the Lord said, your country is in trouble. And he said, I need the mighty prayer warriors. And let me tell you, as a general, he's told me many times, when I ask you to pitch a tent and everything's there, he said, I do not send generals to lose. I send generals to take back freedom. And so I want us to be excited no matter what we see, because all we're seeing is God exposing the darkness in this land that is deep rooted. And so I want us to be excited. So we say, happy 4th of July, happy birthday, America. One of the things is every night I'm assigned to pray for the whole eastern seaboard and all the way to Illinois. And every night I call out the name of South Carolina to the Lord. And you know what your mottos are here? While I breathe, I hope. And the second one is prepared in mind and resources. Begin to pray those promises, those things, those mottos of covenant that were given over your land, and pray them back to God. Because when God makes covenant, he never breaks covenant with his children. He's looking for voices and people to rise up and say, I will stand in that place, Lord, and I will take it back. I want us to look a little bit at number 16, Korah's Rebellion. Now, when you look at the church, and you look at the government, it's very easy to become discouraged. Almost every day, another leader is falling. But God is basically cleansing, because he's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And if we're going to discipline nations and we're going to raise up people, we want to raise them in purity. We do not want to have to go back and heal and deliver them from the crap we put into them. And so he's giving us that drive, that is what we want to do. So we open up the Korah, the rebellion. Korah conspired. Korah incited. And two other people came on board. If you study this, it's the playbook of socialism. Begin to understand which spirits are combining in this nation coming up to the elections. It's socialism, Islam, and transgenderism. And all of them have a violent agenda. In fact, in Pennsylvania, there is a transgender, the parents tried to reconcile with him, and he murdered them, him and his cultish group. But we do not be discouraged. We just know where is our battle, and we have to know where our authority is. The one thing, whenever I counter anything, whether I'm here or in another nation, what is my authority, and how do I stand? And Lord, you're going to give me the strategy how to take it back. Now, it's interesting because these three guys were the troublemakers, the inciters. But get this, 250, what birthday are we at? 250. 250 of the prominent leaders, 250 of the cabinet, 250 of the Congress, 250 of the Supreme Court. What's on the block right now? Supreme Court. How many of you are pretty discouraged at what you saw being passed this week? Okay, people, we're not to be discouraged. Now we go to war. Now you pissed us off. Now you made us mad. We're going to go now and battle for that. And God's going to begin to, every night I pray also what's under those buildings, and I see him sifting the foundation and beginning to expose. And so we don't be discouraged. We just say, okay, now what is the strategy? Because if he lets you see it and he assigned you, he's going to give you the strategy. And strategy is always for victory. never for defeat. We talk about how COVID, when COVID came, and a whole lot of things in Kenya is different than here. The police come, they start shooting you. You don't have food, you don't have whatever. But God gave us a strategy by showing us what demonic forces were at work and what angels would come to assist us. And to this day, within a 50-mile radius, there is no COVID in our area of Kenya. Because we got a hold of God. What really made me mad is the demons came into my room. Okay, now I got your, now I know what your number is, and we're going to go after and ask God. So 250 of the prominent members also went into rebellion. And they incited all of them. Now, what's really discourages, and you think about it, the presence of God would come so mighty into that tabernacle, and they all saw it. It says they all saw it. What made them act like that? There was a mindset and demonic powers in the territory, in the region, and altars in the land that began to draw them aside. And so we need to understand the battle. We stay inside our four walls and we forget there's powers that are out to take us down. But God. So he is exposing. And the thing is, we have to humble ourselves in the mighty hand of God, because a minute like them arrogant, who are you? Who are you? How were you set apart? God is going to withdraw, but we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, and he is going to be. We talk about the scripture that if my people are called by my name, what the scripture says after that is, then when you do that, I will turn my face to you and I will hear every prayer offered. Not just some, every prayer that's offered, because you have sought to honor my name. And so he's trying to show us how to get a hold of this victorious strategy. And Moses does what? He falls on his face. A leader will always humble himself and intercede for the people for mercy. We have to get a hold of the love of those who hate us, those who are trying to kill you, those who want you dead. And believe me, we understand that in the third world with Muslims. They'll come in your compound and kill your dog. They'll steal anything. They will kill you as soon as they look at you because you're an infidel. But Moses fell on his face because God wants to save the Muslims. We have to understand that he has such a heart for them as well as he does for us. He fell on his face and he interceded. They began to demand what was not theirs. Leviathan is so busy today twisting. And so is Jezebel. Jezebel is a seducer in that she watches you and she knows what is going to draw you aside from the presence of God, and she will do that. If ever a time we needed to be in intercession in the word of God, it is now. Let me tell you, I may preach around the world, I may prophesy, I may do things, but I have to spend a whole lot of time in intercession and a whole lot of time in the word. It's not unusual that I'll be up 2-3 hours at night, not because I want to be, but because God needs people who will stand in the gap. In those hours when the cursing is coming against the churches, the pastors, the earth, the animal kingdom, and all those things, is someone stand and cry out to God for that? So Korah stirred up the entire community against the one that God had chosen. Did you ever see a president so vilified? I don't care if you like him or not. He's who God put in place. I don't know, but I do know how he's standing. We have never had a president so hated. And because they tried to kill him on my soil in Pennsylvania, I take that very seriously. I repented and asked the Lord to lift the curse off my land, and I will pray for that man. And I can remember the first time he ran, I thought, I can't stand to look at his face. He is so arrogant. And the Lord said, I don't want your opinion. It's a shame, because we're pretty bright, we're pretty educated, but he doesn't want my opinion. He wants my obedience. So they all met at the entrance of the tabernacle. When you come to the door of the tabernacle, you should melt in the presence of the Lord. Unless you have a hardened heart and a rebellious spirit. It says that the glorious presence was seen by all. This shows you the measure of how far they had fallen. And how do we see in America today? How far have we fallen from the fear of the Lord and from the respect of the altar or the honor of those who are leading you? It is at an all-time low. But all they saw was self-protection. What position can I get? The greed and the lust for power stopped them from seeing what God was doing. But God is going to deal harshest with leaders because they are to lead the people. And if you have that unclean spirit, you're leading a whole group of people away from God. He has the harshest judgment reserved for you. And so we must be careful when we lead people or we speak that we are truly speaking from the heart of God and what he said. And what happens? The earth opens up and swallows all of them, their household, everything, their families. Now, I don't know about you. I would go as low as I could go on the ground. I would be so scared. Because you just saw the earth open up and swallow, and they went screaming, it said. It was not a quiet death. They were squeezed to death. They were screaming. And the whole assembly heard this. So what happens then? The 250, the Congress, the cabinet, the Supreme Court, are carrying their incense burner because they think they're the carriers of the truth or the carriers of whatever it is they're supposed to be carrying. And the fire comes, boom, and they all were toast. All 250 were consumed. Now, we should never fear the fire of God, because the fire of God will only consume what he needs burned up off of you. It does not touch your mantles. It does not touch your rightful position in him, but it will burn off what needs to be burned off. And that's not easy to say. I can remember prophesying to some Tanzanian leaders that the fire was about to get seven times higher, hotter. And I always cringe when I have to say something like that. Oh my gosh, these poor guys, like they don't have it rough enough. But I said, remember, the fourth man is in the fire. And I had no idea that within less than 6 months, their government would go crazy over there and begin to persecute. But they're all standing today. They were prepared. God could get a hold of them. And you know, even as I was prophesying over them, I didn't see fear come in their face, because God was preparing them, and they knew he would take care of them. Now the burners, though, were a holy vessel. The incense and the burners were holy. And he said, go get them, hammer them, and put them on an altar as a warning. We have to be careful when we're handling the holy vessels that God has put in our hand and what we do with that. That's not enough. The next morning, here comes all the people murmuring and muttering. How many of you mutter and murmur when something doesn't make you happy? Uh-oh. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, you know, watch your mouth. And we do. So they're complaining. Well, you know, you killed them. You did this. You do that. And what happens? A plague comes through. Whoo! 14,700 people were wiped out. Can you imagine being in the assembly and now a total of 15,000 people were wiped out? How does Moses begin to pick up the pieces? And how does Moses begin to lead the people? And he kept interceding and praying for mercy, begging for mercy. And I see today in our land, we are again at the door of a very great civil war. Does anybody else see that? A great civil war. And it grieves me when I think about that. And one of the things, being in Pennsylvania, I live near Valley Forge. I'm near where George Washington knelt down. I'm where William Penn had a holy experiment. I'm where Gettysburg and where they tried to kill my president. You feel the great weight and the great burden of taking up the covenants and calling forth the covenants that God had. I want to just read to you the Gettysburg address and see if we're not there where we were. Just listen to the words of what President Lincoln said. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth to this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that war, a portion of that field, as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, nor can we consecrate. We cannot hallow the ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little know, note, nor long remember what I'm saying here, but it will never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work. Do you hear that? The unfinished work, which they have fought here and so nobly advanced. It is rather for us here to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of their devotion, that we were highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, will not perish from the earth. Let me tell you something. People across the globe know if America falls, where will salvation come? Where will the gospel be coming from? We have to take up that torch and recognize the covenants that were made on this land was to carry the gospel to the world, not to be in comfort, not to just come, but there's people out there waiting to hear the cry. Hear your voice, bring the hope to them, and bring Jesus Christ to them. And so we are in this great civil war story. We're not firing bullets, but let me tell you, I have never seen the level of racism I have seen in the church in America. It is ripping mission organizations apart. It is ripping people apart. And Dan and I see that very much firsthand. You can tell when we come into something. They look at it, we're black and white, and they wonder, how can you work together? You can feel it in your spirit. And this should not be in the church. And remember, we are a republic. We are a republic where the people rule. The people put in power the representatives who are to make and uphold the rules and laws, and it was supposed to be under God. The first, in the Constitution, nobody could hold a position in government unless you were a Christian. Let's go back to that. Because this Constitution doesn't work unless by divine providence. And we need to begin to fight and take that back. I also want to read the battle hymn of the Republic. The Lord told us, I need to stand from this place, from this pulpit, and proclaim this into the spirit realm. And let me tell you, living in a third world country where they kill Christians for praying and seeing the Islam and seeing Somalia, you realize there comes any day where you could lose your life, and that you're so grateful to God, and that there is a price that might have to be paid. And like I tell my children, if you ever hear that I died, I want you to know one thing, that I was face to face with my Savior, and it is okay. The woman was looking over the battlefield, and she said, because there was a great revival going on during the Civil War. So I pray that in this Civil War we have, that God will come and revive each other. There'll be an awakening in each man's heart. That the bitterness and anger we have over skin color or injustice, it will come under the blood of Jesus and the love of the heart of the Father and melt us. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar. We have to build the altars again of God in the evening dew and the morning damp. I have read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lights. His day is marching on. I have read a fiery gospel writ in burnished rows of steel. As ye deal with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent's head, since God is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet, because my God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that was transforming you and me. And he died to make men holy. Let us die to make men free. While God is marching on, he is coming like the glory of the morning on the wave. He is wisdom to the mighty, and he is succor to the brave. So the world would be his footstool, and the soul of time his slave, because my God is marching on. Hallelujah. Can we sing that first verse? Can you play that or not? Or we just sing a cappella? Okay. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming. He has loosed his faithful light of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh. I just saw a bunch of angels go flying. I don't know where they're going, but hallelujah. You may be seated. Okay. And we have to understand that a lot of things, we talk about this a lot, it's about territories and it's about altars on the land. And the thing is that if we don't deal with that, it's not going to be open to the gospel. So we have to understand. Altars are portals, and on every altar, like you come and you bring your tithes and your sacrifice, and it goes to the throne of grace, and then angels can descend. But if it is an altar unto the enemy, demons come up, and they call for blood. And the demonic, all the sacrifices you're hearing, it's the blood, and the spirit always responds to blood. And who answered Abel's blood? Who was the first spirit? God himself. It says, the blood of your brother cries out to me. So let's see, whatever we lay on the altar cries out to God, and he comes swiftly to us. Not the witchcraft, not the demonic. Because God is about bringing us back to the place of altars. And in 1 Kings 13, what happens is after a while, altars get enough power that they dictate even to the rulers how they're going to behave. Now, Solomon dies. He was contentious with a man his age, Jeroboam. His son comes into power, Rehoboam. And Jeroboam comes back, and Rehoboam is going to listen to his younger counselors, not the older. But God said, don't you dare lift your sword against your brother. So the kingdom is split. So what happens now is Jeroboam has a thought. Every sin starts with a thought. So Jeroboam says, wait a minute. If they go back to Jerusalem to do sacrifices, what's going to happen is their allegiance is going to be to Jerusalem. So I need to start so I can keep my power and control. So he begins to build altars and build a whole witchcraft structure around that nation. They actually believed under his tutelage that it was those idols that delivered them from Egypt, not God. This is how bad it is. So the Bible then tells us that a man of God, that's always said, we never know his name. A man of God came as the king was offering the evening sacrifice. Now he knew, this man of God, that the king did not hold the ultimate authority, but the spirit in that territory and in that earth did. So he speaks to the altar. He says, altar, O altar. When someone commands something, the first time is they're giving you information, you better be aware this is going to happen. Second time it's a command, you better do it. Third time it's a judgment. Altar, O altar. He never addresses the king because he recognizes the ultimate power is not in the hand of the king, but in the spirit in the region. So he has to address the altar, and he says, today you're going to crash, you're going to burn, the ashes will fall, and David's lineage will go back on the throne. So we have to understand, did you ever wonder why many missing children or things are happening? They're being sacrificed on altars. When they spilled the blood of President Trump, they were trying to speak to the demonic realm and give it power. We have to understand that blood speaks and the blood has a power. And this is why you'll see them calling for assassinations and stuff, because it gives power to that realm. And we have got to take that authority. We have to educate ourselves and know, because God will always give us the strategy for victory. Now, so what happened? So what has God, now that we're all depressed, the biggest thing is intercession. Like I told you, I can teach, I can write books, I can do whatever, but I'm going to tell you, I can do nothing unless I'm in intercession. And we don't pray what we want or what we think, because remember, God doesn't care about our opinions. He wants to know. Do you know, John Fetterman is my senator. How many of you know, when you saw John Fetterman, you're like, oy, oy, they. Oy vey, oy vey. And the Lord said, just keep praying, just keep praying. Look at him now. Amen. And you know, one of the things I prayed is when Dave McCormick got in, I said, Lord, let them twin together for the things of Pennsylvania. You see, they do everything together as twins. Even though he's Democrat, and our Democratic governor hates Fetterman. But I write him, I call him, and you know, he is very good to get back to you. If you call him about an issue, he calls you back. So prayer does work. Mm-hmm. And one night I was complaining to God about Iran and Trump. How many of you ever complained to God about Iran and Trump? Oh, come on, stop telling me I'm the only one. Oh, thank you for being honest. So I come down one night, and it's the middle of the night, and the prophet, let's go wipe them all out, bomb the crap out of everything. Throw them all out of power, you know? Yeah. Now, the pastor says, no, the pastor has to, you know, the pastor always has mercy. So anyway, I was telling God, and the Lord said, look out the window. And, you know, it's pitch black, and he said to me, Trump is awake many nights. And President Trump is asking me, is there anyone who is praying? He said, President Trump said to him, Lord, is there anyone praying in the night for me? And I just, oh my gosh. And then he said to me, when President Trump looks and sees your light on, does he see arrows that you're shooting at him to wound him? Or is he hearing your prayers? Oh my, that I just melted. And then he said, for 1 minute, I'm going to let you feel the burden that this man carries every day. I thought I was going to die. I bent over and I couldn't get up. I thought, I am so sorry, Lord. So no matter what people tell me about Trump, no matter what they tell me about Vance, I don't want your opinion. In fact, I stopped listening to some podcasters because they have opinions. And I have to pray with what the Spirit of God is saying in alignment. And we don't want to get to heaven someday and have God say, well, you prayed your opinion, you gave your opinion. I couldn't fulfill my agenda because I didn't have enough people that fought against the demonic agenda for him. So we pray what God says. Do I struggle that JD's wife is a Hindu? Yes. Do I struggle that Kash Patel is a Hindu? Yes. That he doesn't want my opinion. He wants me to pray. And begin to pray with the Spirit of God in alignment. Because God can turn everything. Because he wrote a book when they were being knitted in their mother's womb. And it agreed with the agenda God had for them, the purpose. But who's going to pray it in? Who's going to pray it in? Are you going to call for that book and say, Lord, open and pour the tears and pour the prayers. And I want to agree with you what you said about that person. Because God is the God of the impossible. John Fetterman. Whew. So we pray what God has instructed us to pray. Now the hope is, look what happened in a day. Number 17, 15,000 people are dead. Moses has to start all over. The leaders are gone. The murmurs are gone. Now what do we do? He says, take a rod and put the name and lay them on the altar. See, we have to lay everything on the altar for God to begin to do something with it. And what does it say? In a day, in a day, in a day, Aaron's rod sprouted, budded, blossomed, and bore fruit. God will do it suddenly. Sometimes you feel like you're forever, 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 and you don't see movement. But God promises. And then he gives us the responsibility to steward the altars, to steward the house of God, to steward those he puts into our hands. So I want you to be encouraged today, body, people of God, as leaders here. Don't look at the darkness, look at the light. Look at the promise and hold on to that in the time when it looks darkest. Because remember, the dark is right is before the dawn comes. And he is coming. And he has promised. What has he said? What is that? She said, America will be saved. And we need to believe that. Now, I asked my son, Dan, to come and give his impressions. Because we have now traveled in America for 2 weeks together. And we have seen some pretty hairy things. And I just want him to give his impression that we're going to move into ministering for people. We are going to try to have everybody out of here by 8:30 so you can go party. So thank you. Oh, thank you so much. And Pastor Dan. I was saying what?
He declared that the United States is one nation under God again.
Yes, he did. Yes. Yes, and what you do is you take the confession of his mouth, like when he re-educated the nation. We take those, and even New York, I pray that, because George Washington was sworn in right where Mam Dami went down and went on the Quran at midnight on the demonic altar. But God's covenant supersedes anything, as long as men will become in agreement with it and say, this is what, and I pray that over William Penn. All the covenants he made, Lord, I call them forth again in the mighty name of Jesus. All right, okay. Thank you so much.
Amen. That's powerful. this is very exciting, and I just want to share two things that the Lord has been laying deeply in my heart. Now, as the church all over the world, it's important for us to know what God is doing in this season. Because every dispensation carries a certain weight of the glory of God. There is something God is doing every time with a generation. And so we must first of all understand, what is it that God is doing with the church? And we must understand where the weight of the things or the emphasis of the Spirit is. If we do not understand where the emphasis of the Spirit is, there is a possibility that as a church we may not be able to do what God has called us to do within that dispensation. Because I know the church is praying and trusting God to see revival. How many people are praying for revival? Thank you. But I want to believe that very few people are prepared for revival. Very few people are prepared to see the move of God. There is need for us to know the emphasis of the Spirit. Every territory has an assignment in this dispensation. And we need to know what your assignment is. Individually, territorially, and as a nation. Every person needs to know where God has placed them and what God is doing with them. And so, to me, this is my personal opinion. There's so much confusion in the body of Christ for God to use us. And I think there is need for the Spirit of God to clean the church and bring some order in the church for us to see what God intends to do. And this is my personal opinion. I believe that we need to be reorganized. We need to see things from a different place. The Spirit of God has told me that there are three things majorly that God is doing. I'm just mentioning them because of time. Number one is that every time God wants to do anything with a generation, the first thing he does is to change their mindset. He begins to reorganize the way they think. Because the glory of God begins, the revival begins with an individual before it can affect a region. The interest of God is first to an individual. And then, so if God is going to use somebody or God is going to use us, he's first of all looking for one person that has been prepared to be used of God. So the Bible says, is there anyone who can stand in the gap? And that's where the emphasis of the Spirit begins. If God does not find someone in the gap, he has nobody to use. And so the first thing is that God must first of all reorganize our thought patterns. God must reorganize the way we think as a church. Because where the problem is that altars. Now, she was talking about altars. But if you study altars, you realize that altars are not just physical elements. Altars are also spiritual thought patterns that have been built in a generation. So there are things we believed in for a long time that have become operation systems that the enemy uses to attack a generation. So there is a mindset that if God does not change, it is impossible for us to begin to see the move of God. So every time God wants to help the church, he breaks us from that mindset. He breaks us from what we have believed. He breaks us from some of the things that the enemy has built for a long time. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, from verse number 4, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And then verse number 5 says, the strongholds are, number one, imaginations. Everything that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. These are strongholds. These are altars. So when the devil wants to do anything, he builds systems. He builds the way we reason. He builds the way we think. He makes us think in a certain way, and that becomes his place of strength. So when the devil has built systems of the way a church thinks, a generation thinks, then now we can be able to hold that generation in captivity. When God comes to help us, he breaks us from some thought patterns. He breaks us from some of the things we believed in. Number two is that every time God wants to move and do something with a generation, the second thing is that he begins to raise righteous men. The Bible says that with righteous men is a nation exalted. And when we are talking about righteousness, it's more than coming to church. There are spiritual disciplines that helps us to become the righteous of God. There is a level of consecration for you to be called the righteous of God. Every man that God wants to use, there is a certain consecration that he puts on them. And my consecration for my call is not a consecration. There are things God will speak to me not to do, but she may be doing them. There are two levels of consecration. The first level of consecration is what unifies everybody. So there are things God will tell us not to do. But then there is a tailor-made instruction that is meant for me. And every person has an instruction for his assignment. Every territory has an instruction for the assignment. So if we don't understand the consecration for the church, the consecration for your region, it is impossible for you to do and function in the way God wants you to function. There are times God will say, he will give you some instructions that will prevent you from some comfort in a particular time, because he's building something in you. There are times God will make you not to do some things in a certain season because of what he wants to do with you in the next season. Lastly, and this is very important to me in this season, is that every time God wants to help a generation, he brings us to the cord called unity. And this is where the church is failing. The church is so divided that we cannot carry the glory of God. And we are divided among so many things. And until the church comes to the place where we are more united than divided, there are things we cannot be able to do as a church. There is a call in the spirit, and it's an emphasis that the church must break the cords of disunity and come to the place where we can be united as a church. And unity is hard work, because unity calls us to the place of sacrifice. There are things we must let go for us to be united. There are levels of sacrifice we must take. Wisdom is what brings us to an alignment. So we may know what to say. We may have what to say. But wisdom calls us not to speak everything every time because of unity. We can't be united when we have not engaged ourselves in the disciplines of the things of the Spirit. There are things that we must let go. There is a level of wisdom the church must walk in if we are going to be united as a church. There is a lot of emotional, the church is walking in a lot of emotions. We do not have the intelligence of the Spirit in addressing many issues. Because issues that affect the church requires a certain dimension of wisdom of the Spirit for us to deal with them. Let me give you an example. We have a problem back in Africa. Just 1 minute. We have 42 tribes. 42. speaking 42 languages. I can be in my nation, and we are in the church the way we are, and everybody is speaking their language. 42 languages. So it is very easy for the church to be divided within the 42 tribes. My tribe and one of the tribes have been in conflict for 60 years since we got our independence. We are divided. When I was coming into ministry, the Spirit of God began to speak to me that it is time for us to break the cords of disunity in the church. And the Spirit of God led me to be under a bishop from the tribe that is my enemy. Now, you may not understand what that means. These are guys, like next year we are having our general election. These are guys who literally kill each other. And it takes a lot of wisdom and discipline to be under such leadership. Sometimes I go to preach in those areas because I travel to the region where we are hated. There is a level of wisdom I have to clothe myself with to be able to be accepted in that region. The church must realize that if we are going to be effective as the body of Christ, we must change the way we are looking at things. We must change the way we speak. We must change the way we address issues in the body of Christ. If we don't change, we will keep on preaching unity, but still divided. There is the weight of God that will never come in the body of Christ until we are united. If there is one prayer, I will pray for you. May the Lord unite you as a church. May the Lord break the differences in the body of Christ. This is my assignment in this season. This is my assignment in my generation, to call the church to the place of unity. We must be united, and we must be intentional as the body of Christ to be one. There is nothing that we will do as a church until we are intentional to be one. The Lord bless you.
Wow. You know, it's so true, and we stand to defend what we think we're right in. We really do. But God is trying to get to us, you know, and it's hard to humble yourself and say, Lord, I have been wrong in that. And to be, you know, even when Dan is here and we get assignments, and also back in there, because women, the tribe we live and work among, the Maasai, the warriors, they open carry their weapons. They see women as possession. They mutilate their women, the most radical of any of the tribes, and they beat their women. They carry a stick they call their wife beating stick. And so it's very hard because you're given no place. When you go there, the men get the first food, get the seats, you sit on the ground. And you're thought to have nothing that gives a value to men. And you really have to have the love of God, you know, when you hear the stories. But when they come to the altar, I have such compassion on them, but that takes a will of God and a thing of God. And even when we're here, an assignment is given, and we have to be very circumspect and speak, especially when it becomes a black-white assignment, that we're not taking offense or we're not saying whatever. And we have to work this all the time. And it's funny because when I introduce people as him as my son, they're like, yeah, right. I said, doesn't he look like me? You know? And so God is trying to get us to break that those things, because we were raised in the church in certain places, and we agree. And we talked about even today in the Midwest. I have a friend. She never saw a black person until she was 21. And then I remember when she came east, she said, "Well, are they going to hurt us?" You know. And we have to be intentional to get outside our four walls as leaders and intentionally reach across to those people. Because as I move in the churches in America, in the black churches, it is horrible. And in the white churches, what we're hearing and what we're saying and the things that are being cursed. And when you put your mind, when you have hatred and bitterness and put your mind in agreement with this agenda, you're agreeing with a demonic agenda and you're giving it force, reinforcement. And we don't like being uncomfortable in the United States. We want to be comfortable, but if we're going to see this, we have to reach across and intentionally. And believe me, I know, because the vitriol, a thing that comes at you, it's very hard, but you must say, Lord, show me how to be. We talk about being bridges of grace. How can we bridges of grace as they're cursing you and they're saying unreasonable things? How do we become the bridges of grace? So one of the things I want to start with, I would like to do is, I want anybody who wants to be that bridge of grace and see unity, stand to your feet. Jesus forsook all.
Let it rain.
To bring us all together in love. If we could only see the value in one another.
Let it rain.
If we could only see, we desperately cannot finish the kingdom work unless we hold the hand of the one who has despised us or the one who has cursed us. But they love Jesus too. We don't know what they've been taught. We don't know how they've been hurt. And it makes us very uncomfortable when they come at us.
Let it rain.
But as they flayed Jesus open, he uttered not a word.
Open the floodgates of
and he stayed on the cross until all of this was dealt with fully. He did not say it was finished until he looked into this future and saw this time and said, I want to redeem that time. Think how the Iranians feel as they're praying and they're being slaughtered. Think of the Nigerians who are being killed as they worshiped. Do we have that same love? And you know what? They're praying for America. They're praying for America. Do we have that same love? So Lord, I just come to you right now. You see these people that have stood to their foot, to their feet, and said, Lord, I will be that one. Even now, Spirit of God, I know you're stirring. You're showing them things. You're speaking to them, Lord. Help them not to second guess it, Lord. Help them to take courage. To take courage. To take courage. You did not ask us to understand, but you asked us to begin to obedient. In obedience. Sometimes we need to just take one step at a time in obedience. And then the Spirit of God will tell us the next step. He's longing and looking for those, like Pastor Dan said, who will go into a territory. And believe me, they kill you. He's not kidding. the election, people shut their business and go to the tribal lands and hunker down in their tribe because they know they're going to be killed. The one man, they tried to cut his head off and ran him through with arrows over a political position. And he talked about mindset. These were tribes that once worked together until the British programmed them to hate each other and steal positions. And that's scary because you step into their land, you might die. And they even took blood oaths not to allow the power to go to another tribe. But he saw the price that Jesus paid. And he realized what Jesus paid for him. And so he's looking for us. What tribe, what group of people is he calling you to here in this nation? And you may be uncomfortable at first, but he's going to give you the courage in the world. And he just wants us to begin to take one hand, and walk. And it's that you soon then begin to change a mindset in a nation. Like polygamy is legal in Kenya. Oh, every student is a product of polygamy. Every student we ever touch. But we start with one. And we say, watch as you break this. You're going against generations. You're going against that agenda. But he just wants one person who will catch that vision and catch that and say, Lord, I want to be that one. I hear the Lord saying about you two, take your hand, hold hands. Are you married, I hope? I don't want to put anybody together that isn't married. I hear the Lord say he sees that hunger in you and that desire. And you have a love, and he's given you freedom in this country. And he wants to show you how now to begin and look around you and widen. And he's going to start to bring people to encounter you. And even if you're trembling and shaking, walk in obedience and watch what he does. And we want people to look like us and act like us. Nobody looks like me in Kenya. In fact, for months, I don't see another white face. And when I see my first white face, it's like a culture shock to me. So he's going to start to show you people that are out there and hidden. He's going to even begin to connect you to hate groups. Like I hear the KKK. Pardon me? Yes. Yes. That's right. But God. And let me tell you, he's going to show you. One of the things that I have found that really breaks it is when you do miracles. You know, you hear a lot of Muslims that Jesus is appearing to them or whatever. And I can remember the first time a Muslim man, because Muslim men have no respect for women. They don't. And I remember, and a woman can't go anywhere without a male from the family. And he knocked on my door. And he had been in trouble with the law. Dan had the police chased into our compound, and the police had to intervene. And one day he knocked on my door, and he said, my sister is sick. And I thought, well, what do you want me to do about it? Go to the doctor. They went to the doctor, and he said, she's not getting well. And he said, but you and Pastor Dan came and preached in my high school. And he said, my sister asked me to bring her here. Now, am I feeling the pressure that he's, and I said to him, okay, come in and sit down. But I said, I want to tell you something. I pray to Jesus. You must understand that. I only pray to Jesus because he's the healer. And when I prayed, she was healed. And from that day, when Ramadan would come, they would bring me food. They're supposed to give it to me. And they don't usually invite you in their home. But when it was a birthday party, they invited me. And they usually, what they do is the person whose birthday is being celebrated, they give the cake to the most honorable people and on down. They came to me first. And even when they locked our doors in COVID, our church doors, and we had worship in our home, I'm thinking of my Muslim, they're only 6 feet from my living room, and the church was in my home. And he said, why did you stop worship so soon? So watch what God will do and open the door. And don't be afraid when he says, walk through it. He's going to show you. Because he's seen the desire of your heart. And he's seen your hunger. And you have been faithful. And God knows you've been faithful. But he's about to take you to another level. And he's going to begin to give you the understanding of territories. And the understanding of what you, don't be afraid of it. Because God will show you everything you need to know. So, Father, I thank you for this precious couple. I just pray, first of all, they will grow in love for each other and friendship, Lord, and that together you will give them visions and dreams even as they go to bed tonight, and you will show them what it is you have them to do. I pray that on this 4th of July there will be an explosion in the spirit realm over them, Lord, releasing them. And we bless and we thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Gwen, come here. You were telling us that you went and you helped the soldiers in Israel.
Yes.
God is giving you a real heart for the wounded. He's going to begin to show you the Word of God as a weapon. One of the things when the rockets were coming in over Galilee, I remember I was praying for the young man that I support over there. And the Lord said, begin to speak the Beatitudes.
Yes.
And the Beatitudes were spoken by Jesus, so they're still, the words of Jesus are still in the atmosphere. So he said, begin to speak. And as I spoke the word of God into the atmosphere and back to him, I saw angels taking those, and they were lobbing them back at the enemy. He wasn't hurting the enemy, but he was piercing their soul. You heard Pastor Dan say the problem is the soul. We're moving in our soul. And he was using the word to pierce. And many nights now as I pray that, I see angels coming and taking a weapon. And he's taking, they either go in or under the ground, and they go out at our word. And what does the sword do? The word of God, it cuts going in, but it heals going out. So he's going to begin to give you an anointing for healing. And as you go into Thailand, you're going to begin to see the hidden children and the hidden abused. And he's going to show you where. And it'll be like walking through the dark halls of hell. But the Lord is going to say, take them by the hand and say, come into the glorious light. So, Father, we thank you. The blood of Jesus, Lord, the compassion, the heart, the healing. The healing power of Jesus, Lord. The DNA and the blood of Jesus flow to her, through her veins and all the way to her bone marrow. Father, we thank you. As I hear her cry, the cry of the Spirit, she's crying for those who have no voice. And she's giving voice. Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you for the work you're going to do in her. To a level, Lord, just fill her with your love. And Lord, I just pray that in her secret place, she will develop a deep intimacy with you. And I thank you and I praise your heart. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Yeah, come here. You. Does she belong with you? She's your wife? Well, then she belongs. Oh, she's a... Oh, your wife's friend. Okay. All right. Hi, I'm Hannah. Your name?
Perry.
Perry? Yeah. Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So tell me, what has God whispered to you in the secret place? You have a hard time here. Are you saved?
I am saved.
You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you filled with the Spirit? Okay. Okay, we're going to pray for you for that, because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He begins to come upon you and you begin to speak in other tongues. And the thing about tongues, you know, it's a you're out of control with tongues, but the thing is that you're praying them with the Spirit of God, so it takes a level of faith. And I see you would not come to a group like this where an old lady's preaching. if you did not have a hunger. Yes. And I always love when you know, I've often been like this only old white lady in another place, and yet I love people like you, because God has a special assignment with you that no one else can fulfill, no one but you. And he sees your hunger, and he sees, I hear your spirit saying, wow, I want to walk in that. I want to be that. I want to do that. And God is, Dan, can you come pray for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Father, we just pray right now.
Let it rain.
The breath of the Spirit. The wind of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
In the name of Jesus. Let it just flow. Let the channels of his bellies be open now in the name of Jesus. Let it begin to flow in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. We pray by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Utterance by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Zela barado shila bahada da da ba da 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 ba. Zela da 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 da. The wind of the Spirit.
Into you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, pray that you will unlock his tongue and unlock his mouth, that he will begin to sing songs that come out of
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Just a second. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you're taking all those wounds and all those weapons out of him, Lord, and you're beginning to realign, Lord, as all his organs, Father God, are going back into an order, Lord, as the way that he was being hid in his mother's womb, and all those things where the enemy has blocked up his spine, that it's now going to be open in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, the joy begin to come up out of him. The joy come up out of him. The joy come up out of him, Lord. And he will be set free, Lord. This has been the cry of the heart of his wife and the people who have prayed for him, Lord. And tonight we're going to begin to see that deliverance beginning. The blood of Jesus is breaking and speaks a better thing. We bless your name and we thank you in your holy name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
This lady right here. In the... Yes. Yes, to you, my darling.
I am in the spirit. You're a gatekeeper. See the same grace that was upon Anna the prophetess, who stayed in the temple for 70 years praying to see certain things happen, is on you. The abundance the Spirit of God has given to you, and you've been crying in the secret place, pushing for them to happen. And the Lord is saying, there are things you will see in your lifetime.
In the light of His glory and
He's working them out. Those prayers are not in vain.
Eyes upon Jesus. Look for
the assignments God has given to you as burdens in the Spirit. And your authority is increasing. There is the weight of glory of God that the Lord is laying on you. He's giving you, He's increasing your authority in the Spirit. You're going to be dealing with deeper and intense things in this season. So Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus. She's being aligned. She's coming to that place in the Spirit that her eyes will open to see everything that you meant for her to see in a lifetime. In the name of Jesus, you are aligning her tribe. You are setting her at the gate of the city. Our discernment is increasing by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you. You're a mighty woman of God. Thank you. We don't bite. You're not sure we don't bite. So are you girls related or are you just friends? Your best friends, yes, yeah. You've been friends for a lot of years too, haven't you? And you've been through many seasons. But God is setting you. I see you. You girls are both very beautiful. You're beautiful to look at. And God is going to set you in a population with people that are the beauties, and yet they are broken inside. But many times, beautiful girls, and they're put together like you, they don't know how to let go when they're broken. But you're going to show them. You're going to get behind that wall, and you're going to say, I have an answer. And the Lord's going to open your eyes as a seer to see what they can't see and begin to speak into that. And that they did to bring the healing. Because, you know, many times people who are very popular and very successful have made a covenant with the devil. And made, you know, covenants with him. And the Lord is going to show you how to go behind and break that. And I've seen times where the enemy built a witchcraft structure around people. And he's going to show you how to break that and bring people into a fuller way of life in the name of Jesus. And you're going to see enslaved people. See, not all slaves look like slaves, but they're slaves to something. And watch us, God, cut them free. So, Lord, I thank you for her heart, Lord. Father, even though she's fearful, and I can hear her saying, what does that mean? What does that look like? How I do that? He's going to always show you. Just start, and he's going to show you. And your dear friend is going to be here with you. And she's going to show you. She's already walks in the great anointing of the prophetic. And she already sees angels. Okay. So she's going to share back and forth. And what happens is as you're walking that and you're more secure in that, he's going to allow you to see the terror, the demons that are in an area, but not to fear that. Because he's going to give you the words how to get to move them aside so that the light can come down and the glory of the Lord can fill the place. So do not be afraid. Welcome back. Okay, right. Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you. Is this me in video?
Well, I think I don't know what he decides what to do with it, because I don't usually. Yes. My children, yes, thank you. Okay. You four, come here. You're not together, but come here. Oh, one, two, three, four. Shh. Yes, you, sir.
Let it
precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. Always hunger for, oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we pray. At the feet of Jesus, the greatness of his mercy and love. At the feet of Jesus, we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry,
we're going to continue to minister here. If you need to go, you're free to go. But if you need prayer, please stay. And we'll stay as long as necessary to pray for every person, okay? So if you need ministry, you need prayer, please hang around. But for anyone, you're free to go if you want to go. So God bless you. Yeah, that's the same.
Sees you.
By the way, we do have some books from Hannah Hunter, who has written this one right here, and it's called In the Midst. So just see this lady right here, and she will hook you up for one of these books. Amen. How much are these books? I'll have to ask her. $14.95.
I think we're done. Certainly. You can hand this back to Lewis. I don't know how to turn.
You see this right here? And that right there? That's gotta make it.
These that part. have blue. Not the panel. No.
See the blue tape?
I don't know how.
Thank you.